皆さんおはようございます。
おはようございます。
日々の暑さが続けて、それと同じように皆さんの信仰の暑さが続けますように。I just said to everybody, the days continue to be hot, and I pray that the heat of your passion for God, your faith for Him, will continue to burn just as much as maybe your bodies are with the heat. に集中して、で今日は11章なんですけど、その、まあ、今までこの11章まで、特にあの先週と先々週 の9章10章と11章が、神様が私たちをこの道に導いていくことを感じています。今日その皆さんもその神様の声を聞こえますように祈っています。So, in the last, this time we're looking through the book of Acts. But especially last week and the week before, as we've been going through Acts 9, Acts 10, and now Acts 11, I feel like God is giving us a message and He is taking us on a journey. So my prayer for you is that all of us, that our ears are going to be tuned to that message, and that we're going to be responsive to where He's taking us as a group. Okay. Okay, me. 20年前、ある若い男性がキャンプに行って、その日に自分の人生を神様に委ねて、クリスチャンになって、でイエスの弟子として生きていくことを決心してしました。でその人は私です。それは私の信仰がとても素晴らしいことではない、ただ20年前に自分の人生を自分からイエス様に捧げて、でそれを祝っています。今私の信仰はこうみたいです。この20年間でこれぐらいが、その、まあ、そのキーとして考えたら、私の信仰はここまでできました。でもこれからの20年、40年間で、こういうようなキーになれば祈っています。まあ、子供の頃に私の母教会で、ある、かわいいおばあちゃんがいて、で彼女とよく話して、で彼女は一回私に言ったのは、あのね、もともと年を取ると自分の罪がもっと深くわかるよ、自分が失敗していることはもともとわかるよ、偉くならない、本当はそこでへりくだって、もっとへりくだって、もっと神様に自分の人生を委ねること となりたい、それは私の祈りを続けていますと言いました。で私もそのような考え方、今からそういうふうに生きていきたいなと思いました。できたらこうみたいな日をいつか、その信仰を持ちたいなと思っています。この2週間で私たちが今より 今からどこに行くか、神様は私たちをどういうふうに使いたいのか、ただいつも同じ場所、同じような人じゃなく、成長する、成熟することを目指しています。で、この9章と10章から、この4つの質問を皆さんに聞きたいです。まず、あなたの人生と日々の生活は、イエス様に完全に委ねていますか？20年を経てて、それは本当に難しいことと気づいています。でも毎日また起きて、それを神様に、自分を神様に委ねれば、祈りを続けています。あなたの人生と日々の生活はイエス様に完全にいられていますか？またはイエス様との関係はより深まっていますか？今年私たちがここより深く神様との関係、またはお互い兄弟姉妹との関係、または他の人との関係ももっと深まることを目指しています。イエス様との関係は深っていますか？先週10章からその聖霊様が私たちの壁を壊す力があることで、あなたの壁を壊すことを聖霊様に委ねていますか？この写真とのように、私たちはまず毛虫みたいな形だけど、その蝶々になるため、神様はどのようにあなたの心、人生、またはこの教会を成長させてくださっていますか？今までのことを英語で言うから、この4つの質問を考えてみてください。20 years ago, a boy was at camp, and while he was at camp, he made the decision to give his life to Jesus, to surrender himself completely. And that boy was me, and I celebrate today. I celebrate the fact that I've been able to walk beside Jesus for 20 years, and that he has been so faithful and so patient with me as I learn how to become his disciple. Being a disciple for 20 years doesn't mean that I'm wonderful. In fact, if I were to use the example of a tree, I would say this is where my faith is right now. The one in the foreground, not the one in the back. And that's where I am after 20 years time. But my prayer is to become this kind of tree. And so I pray that over the next 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, that I can not only double, but in Japanese they say, bainになる, like, well, I guess that's double, but like, just expand, have expansive growth in my faith as a disciple of Jesus and what I do for him and in surrendering myself to him. There was an old lady in my home church, and I used to talk to her every week. And one time she pulled me aside and she said, you know, the older you get, the more you realize, the more you feel your sense of sin. And the more you realize your inability and how wonderful you are not and how much you don't know. And I thought about that, and I thought that that was a very, very humble response that she had. And so my prayer is that I can be faithful like her. And if I can do that, then perhaps God can make me into a large tree for other people. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at Acts 9, Acts 10, and Acts 11. And today we're going to look at Acts 11. And as I think about the last two chapters, God gave me four questions for us to be thinking about. Four questions for you to be reflecting on your faith and on the church. So I want to ask you these questions, and I'd like you to think about it when I go back into Japanese. The first question is your life wholly surrendered to Jesus? I think we like to give a little bit of our lives to Jesus. Sometimes we're better at giving it than others. But are you wholly surrendered to Him? I think the older I get and the further along I go in these 20 years, the more I realize how difficult that is and how many times I'm failing at that. Another question is your relationship with Jesus growing deeper? You know, our theme this year is growing deeper, going beyond. Growing deeper with Jesus, growing deeper with each other, growing deeper with those outside, and bringing them in. So I want to ask you, is your relationship with Jesus growing deeper? You are the one that has the responsibility for growing that deeper. There are decisions that you have to make in your daily life in order to grow deeper with Jesus. Last week, Atsushi talked about the Holy Spirit having no walls and no limits, and that the Holy Spirit can break down those walls in our lives and in the church. So I ask this question, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to break down the walls in your life? He can do it, but you've got to release yourself to Him. So are you allowing Him to do that? And then, finally, how is God challenging and changing your heart, your life, and this church? You know, I use this picture of the caterpillar. And we're like caterpillars, but we want to be like the butterfly. And so how are you allowing that cocoon process to happen to allow Jesus to change your life, to change this church in some way? So please think about that. And I'm going to go in Japanese to do the overview of Acts 11. 今日は使徒言語録11章読んでいます。で、その11章は2つの部分に分かれます。1節から18節、または19節から30節。この間、その9章に、まずパウロの話を中心にして、で、一番最後にペトロの話がありました。で、今回は逆。ペテロの話がその中心になって、で、一番最後にまたパウロの話、バルナバの話に戻っています。で、この11章の1節から11節を読むと、神様はペテロを特別なミッション、特別な宣教、特別な働きに送り出した。で、今までのペトロの勉強とその信仰生活で、今まで勉強したこととまた違うことを読んでいます。今まで期待したことから違う場所、想像できなかったところに連れて行ってます。で、ペテロはこの写真みたいにその中に葛藤していますね。皆さんもどうですか？神様との関係で葛藤することがありますか？今まで自分はこういうふうに生きていくつもりだったけど、突然に神様が違う道に導いて、自分の心の中に葛藤することがありますか？ペテロが自分と葛藤するだけではなく、他の人と葛藤することがありました。またそのエルサレム教会にまた呼ばれて、何やってるの？なぜ異邦人と一緒ですか？なぜ異邦人と食事をしてますか？これは私たちユダヤ人、イスラエル人のためだけ の信仰です。私たちは性別している人たちで、そこで神様の計画をペトロが彼らに分かち合えるチャンスがありました。で、皆さんはどうですか？ただ自分と葛藤するわけではなく、たまに他の人と葛藤することがありました。それでペテロは2つのことをやりました。で、これは私に勉強になったことです。まず自分は行動が中心にすることの代わりに、神様に行動が中心になる。ヘブル人への手紙の12章の2節に、信仰の創始者であり完成者であるイエスから目を離さないでいなさいと書いてあります。それは私の好きな箇所なんですけど、私たちがよく自分中心になって、でも自分が思っていること、自分がやっていることじゃなく、また神様がやっていることに集中したい。この11章7節から9節、7節から9節を見て、神様がペテロにメッセージがありました。または12節、こうして御霊は私に、それは私が思ったことではないよ、御霊が私にこう言いましたよ。次は15節、こうして私が話し始めていると、聖霊が聖書の時私たちにお下りになったと同じように、聖霊様が私たちに下ったことと同じように彼らの上にありました。ペテロが思っていること、ペテロの行動の代わりにイエス様がやったこと、聖霊様が伝えたこと、聖霊様の行動に集中しました。で、私たちも同じようにやると間違わないと思います。で、次は自分の葛藤を認めて告白すると同時に、神様の御心を従って守る。ペテロが、はい、行きますとまず言わなかった、ね、なんでこの人に送るんだろう、自分の中に迷って葛藤して、でもそれを認めてみんなに告白しました。私たちも私たちの罪、私たちの葛藤を他の人に告白すると、お互いに励まし合えるチャンスもあると思います。で、そこで終わるんじゃなくて、この葛藤することがあったのにイエス様を従いますと決心して生きていきます。で、11章19節から30節はペテロの話から、アンテオケまたはバルナバとパオロの話に行ってます。その19章、これは新改訳から読みます。さて、ステファノのことから起こった迫害によって散らされた人々はフェニキオ、 キプルス、アンテオケまでも進んでいったが、ユダヤ人以外の者には誰にも御言葉を語らなかった。で続いて20節。ところがその中にキプルス人とクレネ人が幾人か行って、アンティオケに来てからはギリシャ人にも語りかけ、主イエスのことを述べ伝えた。私たちがこの2つの節を読んで、その述べ伝えることに集中します。でも一番最初にその19節に迫害されたから言っちゃったわけで、それを考えると本当に大変ですね、迫害されるのは。この世界で迫害されている人はいる。でも私たちもいる。いろんな意味で私たちも迫害されています。でも私たち人間として考えることで、その迫害するのはすごい大変なこと、すごい問題になる。でも彼らはそう思わなかった。問題として見えて考えるよりチャンスとして考えた。でそれは私たちに勉強になることだと思います。よく私たちの人生に大変なことがあるかもしれないけど、それはチャンスとして、神様はどういうふうに私を変えるか、こういうふうに誰かにそのことを、イエス様のことを分かち合えるかということとして考えたら、私たちも成長することができる。福音宣教がみんなに語り始まって、その働きに主の御手が彼らと共にあって祝福された。今まではそのイスラエル人、ユダヤ人だけにその福音を述べ伝えた。でもある人はイエス様の、聖霊様の導きによる目を開いて、グリシャ人、他の人にもその良い知らせを分かち合えた。でこの20節を読むと、21節、そして主の御手が彼らと共にあったので、大勢の人が信じて主に立ち返った。主イエス様がその働きを祝福しました。このアンティオケ教会を見ると、この教会は成熟している教会と思います。私たちはよく聖書を読んで、私たちみたいな立場からその教会を見ている。水戸教会は60何年の歴史があるんだけど、このアンティオケ教会が この話の時はまだ、もしかしてまだ10年になってないかもしれない。でもその短く時間でも成熟している教会です。でそれで私たちも学ぶチャンスがあります。でなぜそのアンティオキ教会は成熟している教会でしょうかと考えると、このアンティオキ教会は国際的な教会でした。伝道宣教に集中している教会、予言、28節を読むと、そのアガドスが予言して、でその予言によるアンティオケ教会は与える教会と送る教会になりました。このニーズがあるから、私たちができるだけできることを神様に捧げます。でこの アンティオキ教会が成熟していることで、バルナバもすごく大事な存在だと思います。それ、そのバルナバの影響もありました。エルサレムからバルナバを送って、でバルナバがアンティオキ教会の様子を見て、とても励まされた。でそこでバルナバが一人でずっと働くんじゃなくて、パウロをまたアンティオキに連れて行って、一緒にそのパートナーシップを持って、一緒に働いていて、で、バルナバの信仰、バルナバ自身がその弟子として生きていることによって、みんながそれを見て、一緒に成長することができたと私が思っています。だから私たちもそのアンティオキ教会、バルナバの例を見ると、たくさん学ぶチャンスがあると思います。Okay, so in Acts 11, I think you can split it up into basically there are two sections, verses 1 through 18 and then verses 19 through 30. In chapter 9, when I preached 2 weeks ago, the main focus was on Paul. It's Paul's story, what God is doing in Paul's life. And then at the end, there's a little blip about Peter, just kind of switches to Peter. But in chapter 11, it's switched. Most of the focus is actually on Peter and what God is doing in Peter's life and through Peter. And then at the end, it kind of goes back to Paul and Barnabas and the church at Antioch. As you look at that story in 11, I hope you've already read it, but Peter, we see that Peter is hesitant to do what God calls him. Peter has had this history. Peter has had this heritage that he's received. And he thinks, this is the way it is. This is the way we're supposed to be. This is what we're supposed to believe. And then God surprises him with the call. How about you in your own life, in your faith? Have you ever had something where you've been hesitant or you've had to struggle with what God is calling you to? Is there a way that God is calling you beyond to something else in your life that you didn't necessarily see or you didn't plan on doing? And we see also that Peter doesn't just wrestle with himself, but he also wrestles with other believers. And sometimes wrestling with ourselves is more difficult, and sometimes wrestling with other people can be more difficult. The Jewish people are like, what are you doing? Why are you hanging out with a Gentile? Why are you eating with him? But I think Peter's response is very key. He does two things that I think that we can learn from. The first thing is he shifts the focus off himself, off of what he's thinking, off of what he's doing, and he shifts it back onto what God is doing through them. Hebrews 12:2 is, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's one of my favorite scriptures. And I think when we do that, we can't go wrong. When we have a tendency to focus on ourselves, but when we shift the focus off of us and back onto God, I think God blesses that. God uses that. And so Peter says, first in verses 7 through 9, it says, a voice from the Lord. And Peter identifies that as the Lord. In verse 12, Peter says, the Spirit told me. It's not that Peter just said, hey, I just felt like going to Cornelius and starting a new ministry with the Gentiles. It's that he was sent by the Spirit. The Spirit told him to do that. And verse 15, the Holy Spirit came on them just as they came on us on the day of Pentecost. So he recognizes how the Spirit has worked in his life, and then he recognizes how it's working in the lives of other people. Secondly, I think the other thing that he does is he admits his own struggle. And then he also shows his resolve to be obedient, regardless of that struggle. And I think this is a really important part for us. Sometimes we're embarrassed to share the struggles that we have, struggles that are brought on because of what God challenges us to, because of what God calls us to. But I think it's really important for us to be transparent. I think it's important for us to do our best to be confessional, to share what our struggle is, because that God can use that to encourage each other. And it doesn't just stop at that, but we have to go the step further and be strong in our resolve to be obedient. Anyways, this is how I feel, this is what I think, this is what I did not expect God to do, or this is what I did not expect God to call me to, but he did, so I will be obedient. And then in verses 19 through 30, we breeze through verse 19 and 20, but I want to read that. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Now we read that, and what we usually focus on is what happens. That it was for the Jews, and then later it came for the Gentiles. And we totally breeze over this phrase. Those who had been scattered by the persecution. A lot of times we look at difficult things in our lives as a problem. I believe what we can learn from these people is that using something as an opportunity instead of seeing it as a problem is the place where God can come in and work. There are a lot of places we know in this world where people are being persecuted for their faith in really, really drastic ways. But we also have different persecutions. Sometimes it also comes from within ourselves. But we have persecution. And we need to start using... I wasn't able to explain this well in Japanese, but the difference between seeing and using. There's two different verbs there. But seeing something as a problem and using it as an opportunity. My prayer is that we can look at those challenges and use them as an opportunity. And secondly, we see in this section that the mission is spreading to all people and God's favor rests on them. Look at verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So we know that this was Jesus' plan because his hand rested with them and he blessed them. If you look then at the church at Antioch, you see that it's a growing and maturing church. And I think it's important as you're reading this today not to look at it from your history, but look at it from the time that it was then. You know, Mito Church has a 60-year history or more, and many of you have grown up in the church, so you think about things from that perspective. But the Antioch church was a new church. It was a relatively young church. And yet, it also displayed these things for being a growing and maturing church. It was a diverse church. And we know that there are challenges with that, but it is a blessing. Again, we see it as an opportunity rather than as a problem. They were an evangelistic. They were a mission-minded church. There was prophecy happening. Prophecy cannot happen unless you are spiritually mature, unless you are hearing God, unless you are open to God. And through that prophecy, Antioch became a giving and a sending church. They responded to the prophecy by using whatever they had. And so we are challenged to be like them, to be responsive. And I think Barnabas' example is very key. Barnabas was sent by the church in Jerusalem to Antioch, and he's encouraged by what he sees. We see that Barnabas is sensitive to the Spirit. I think another key is that Barnabas doesn't try to go it alone. Instead, he goes up, gets Paul, brings Paul back, and they work on it together. You know, in Acts, we look at Paul, and we focus mostly on Paul. But I'd like you to start reading it more from the perspective of Barnabas and things that Barnabas did. I think you can see that he is a spiritually mature person and full of faith. The scripture says that. But I have really realized how big a role Barnabas plays in influencing Paul and who Paul is. ずっとそれを聞いて、だから、どういう意味ですか？私たちの人生に、私たちの信仰生活に、この十一章から何を学べますか？まず、先週から続いて、聖霊様には壁も限界もない、私たちにはある。私たちが期待していることもある。他の人との壁はある。自分にも壁がある。でも聖霊様はその壁、その限界はないです。次は、私たちは自分をイエス様に委ねなければならない。イエス様は私たちの想像を超えて導かれる。私たちより神様は素晴らしい神です。神様の力の限りはないです。神様の計画の限りはないです。私たちがその計画が分からなくても、その計画はありますよ。で、私たちの役は自分をイエス様に委ねるわけです。そうすると、私たちの予想、私たちの想像を超えて導かれるはずと思います。で、それは私たち一人一人だけじゃなく、それは教会のこともそうです。私たちは、これは私たちの教会として考えているけど、これは私たちの教会ではない。いくらでも奉仕をしても、この水戸教会は私たちの教会ではない。この教会はイエスの教会です。だから、これはミとジョエルの教会と呼ばれていないです。キリストの教会として呼ばれています。だから、また私たちがこの教会をイエス様に委ねなければならない。そうすると、イエス様は教会を用いて祝福するはずです。私たちを通して 神様が働ける。 And so we come to the so what. We've looked at chapter 11. So what does this mean practically for our lives? How do we apply this to our faith lives? First of all, coming back from last week, that the Holy Spirit has no walls or limits. We do. We're the ones that create walls in between each other and with other people. We are the ones that have walls in our hearts. But the Holy Spirit can go over that. And so we need to remember that. We need to remember any time that we come up against a wall, we know that that's because we are becoming jama. We are getting in the way. Another thing is that we have to release ourselves to Jesus. And that when we do that, He will take us beyond our imagination. If I think about the last 20 years, I never would have imagined to be where I am and what I have done. But it has been an exciting adventure, and I'm excited to see where it's going to go next. And I pray that your faith is the same way. If we release ourselves to Jesus, He will take us. Definitely, He will take us in directions and to places and to people that we never expected to be taken to. And that's not just for us, that's also for the church. The church doesn't bear our name, it bears the name of Jesus, so the church belongs to him. And we have a habit of calling it our church, but it's really Jesus' church. So we have got to release ourselves, we've got to release the church to Jesus. And we see when we do that, he takes it, and he uses it, and he blesses it. And I believe he can do that. 今日最後に私たちのチャレンジでこの2つの質問を今週考えてほしい。まずはイエス様に何をまだ委ねていないでしょうか。自分が想像していないところに導かれていくことをイエス様に委ねられますか。簡単に、はい、いえ、と言えない。本当にそれを考えて、何をまだ委ねていないのでしょうか。それを恥ずかしくならない。ただ、みんな一人一人は何かがあるはずだと思う。だから何をまだ委ねていないでしょうか。で、イエス様にそれを乗り越えることに任せますか？任せられますか？ So today, then I leave you with two sets of questions, and this is your challenge for this week. If you get nothing else from today, I want you to leave thinking about these two things, and I pray that it produces growth.In your week, in your faith, as you think about this chapter 11. The first question is, what have you not released to Jesus in your life, and are you willing to let him take you beyond? We all have something. We all have at least one thing that we have not released to Jesus. So for you, in your life as a disciple, what is that? And then, honestly, are you even willing to let Jesus take you beyond?Are you really willing to release that to Jesus? That's where the life transformation, that's where it changes from information to life transformation. It's not just a question. This is something for you to consider for your life of discipleship. And this week, how, in what way are you going to change by releasing? で、また、この質問です。聖霊様によってこの教会はどのように想像を超えて導かれていますか。もう聖霊様がその働きをやってますか。今まで。それから私たちはどのようにしてアンテオケ教会のようになれるでしょうか。この教会は本当に恵まれていると思う。私はこの4ヶ月に短い時間ですが、愛している兄弟姉妹がいて、神様が私をこの教会の一人として一緒に礼拝生活、一緒に成長することに連れて行って、本当に感謝です。本当に感謝です。で、私たちはどういうふうにアンテオケ教会になれますか。 And the second question is not just for yourself, but also for this church. How is this church being led beyond by the Spirit? Is the Spirit already at work in leading this church from where it has been to something new? And if so, how and in what way?And then secondly, how can we become an Antioch church? I've only been here for 4 months, but I'm blessed by being here, and I'm thankful to be amongst this group of people. And sometimes I just have to stop and give thanks to God because he has exceeded my expectations inHow I am blessed by being here with all of you. So, how can we as a group continue to grow to become like an Antioch church? So please think about that. Think about those two things. で最後にこの第二テサロニキ人への手紙からこの言葉を通して皆さんのために祈りたいと思います。今週で神様が動いて働いて皆さんの心の中に変わることができできますように、これを祈りたいと思います。 So I want to close with these words from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 16 and 17, and I want to pray these words over you. I want to pray this as a commissioning prayer for you for this week, and I pray that GodWould use these words in your heart and that you'd be sent this week. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. God, 私たちの主イエス・キリストと私たちの父なる神、すなわち私たちを愛し恵みによって永遠の慰めと素晴らしい望みとを与えてくださったお方ご自身が、あらゆる良い技と言葉等に進むようあなた方の心を慰め強めてくださいますように。